chapter, beginning with the 24th through the 29th verses. I want to share an observation that I discovered in my own life and in the lives of hundreds and hundreds of growing Christians. We speak a lot in this church about the new birth, about becoming a converted Christian. And many people have found Christ. And people share with me from time to time about their new experience. And yet you suspect, and many of us know, that that's never the end. That's always the beginning. Just as much so, when you stand at the altar and get married and say, "I do," you're only starting, not stopping. And it is the process of maturation that is most difficult for us. And the scripture lesson says, the 28th verse is the text, "So we preach Christ to all men, in order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature individual in union with Christ." Anybody can be a religious crybaby. Anybody can get born and just sit there, never grow, never go, never do, never care, never get off the line, never really get it together. And I have observed that there are four basic categories where it's easy to grow as a Christian. I mean, when you make your decision, it's just easy to grow there. But you bump your head almost as though you hit a ceiling and never grow anymore until you find the key that opens those four doors. Now, obviously, there are more on up the line. I'm just saying, in the initial stages of Christian growth, the first four are very evident, very obvious, very easy to identify, and I want to share them with you. So if you want to be a growing Christian, if you know Jesus Christ in your heart in a personal way, and you are ready to start the process of maturation, then let me share that there are these four basic keys. You will grow easily until you encounter them. Some people sooner than others, some people later. But you will grow. Faith will be exciting. Faith will be meaningful. And all of a sudden, you'll come to a day when nothing is there. You're angry, you're upset, doesn't make any sense, you don't believe anything, but you hang in there, and you don't really seem to be getting any further, and yet you look back and you say, "But I did come to know Christ in my life. What's happened?" Well, in the first place, there is the word action. The cardinal rule is this: until you do what you already know to do, the next increment never comes. And that's a fact. Until you do. Now, that's a big word. We use a lot of big words in this part of town. That's one of the biggest words. A lot of us don't even know it. D-O. Until you do what you know to do, the next increment never comes. Now, that's true across the board in life, so you know already, I think it applies to faith, because if ever there was an intelligent lifestyle, it's the faith God gave us in Jesus Christ. But that's true of everything. Needlework. Now, I don't know anything about needlework, but I never let that sort of thing get in my way. I'm just as sure as I'm standing here that you can go to a class and they can give you the first step. And you can sit there, as we often do in many things in life, and we can say, "All right, I understand that. That makes sense. Objectively, I analyze it, and I'm ready to go. What's the next step?" They give you the next step. "Yeah, well, that makes sense. Now, what's the third step?" But the cardinal law of maturation in all things is to do that which you have available to do. If you don't do the first step, it doesn't matter how much intellectualizing one does. It does not matter how much data one collects. The cardinal law is, until you do what you know to do, the next step, the next insight never comes. That's true of surgery. It's true of doing your yard. One of the basic axioms of counseling is this very point. I've seen it 1,000 times. But when you go somewhere for someone to share with you and to be concerned about your problem, and you gain an insight, until you expedite that insight, you'll never have another meaningful insight. But so many times people will say in a counseling situation, yeah, that makes sense. What else can we learn? What else can we do? Until you do what you see to do, nothing else ever really happens. And so it is with our faith. When God is trying to help us grow up, when God is sharing light with us about the needs in our lives, those things we cop out on and hide in all of our ritualizings in the church, until we do what God asks us to do, we will be one of those latent Christians who never really get off dead center. Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it this way, only he who is obedient believes. You hear that? Only he who obeys, really believes. And I know in my own life, and in the life of an awfully lot of us, we find Christ, but we're getting nowhere. We're not growing. We are religious crybabies because we're not doing what we already know to do. Therefore, the next insight never comes. Ecclesiastes 9:10 puts it this way. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I found that to be a basic rule of life. And we all want to do the big thing, the big splash, solve the problem, go straight to the top and wipe it out. But whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might is the way a person grows into that field, in that relationship. And then the passage goes on to say, for there is no work or device or knowledge nor wisdom in the grave where you're going. You're going to have to do it now. Action, Disraeli said, may not always bring happiness, but there is no happiness without action. Until you do what you can, you will never do what you could. Now, I've discovered that. Number one is action. If you're not growing in your faith, it's because you are not doing what you have already learned to do about the kingdom of God. The second word is declaration. E. Stanley Jones puts it this way. Impression minus expression equals depression. I like that better than you did, and I'm going to read it again. Now listen carefully. Impression minus expression equals depression. It's true of all of life, therefore it's true in the Christian faith. That when my life has been truly touched and I do not verbalize that, it tends to be a cap on the experience. So, consequently, logically, and sequentially, I find that when we do not grow in our faith, when we remain dormant or latent, are on a certain now becoming miserable plateau, it's because we are not articulating faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we're afraid of that, and you're saying, now, just a minute, what are you asking me to do? Run around the community and ask people if they're saved? Ask them if they are a Christian? Give them 3 points in the poem and pass out a gospel tract? Not necessarily. I'm just talking about a firm, solid, axiomatic law that impression that is not expressed tends to be a cap on the whole relationship. Verbalization is a freeing agent. Until I say I love you, I never become a participant in a maturing relationship. You can feel it, you can think it, you can believe it, you can live it. But until I say I love you, I do not become a participant in a maturing relationship. Until I say I am sorry, I was wrong. You can live it. You can do all those things around the home you do when you're sorry. I know a lot about that. You can do all those things around the home you do when you are sorry. But until I am sorry is verbalized, the relationship does not tend to mature as it ought to. I'm talking about a simple fact of the psyche. Verbalization is a freeing agent. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 10:32. Whoever declares publicly that he believes that he belongs to me, I will do the same for him before my Father who is in heaven. There's a negative to that, and it says this: if you don't, I won't. And I don't think it's said to threaten us. I think it's said as an insight. Somehow, we who are frightened people, who are hesitant to share our faith, and I have that same problem. I have a neighbor right now that I need to witness to. Just plain, I'm not talking about Methodist Church, but to witness to. And for 2 years, I found an excuse. It's hard for all of us. We never really know what to say. But I know that if I am not growing in my faith, it's because I am not articulating that faith. Someone has systematized the reflection in this way, that there are five levels or five degrees of witnessing. Now, that doesn't mean you can pick out one of the five and be happy with it. It means that if you are a maturing Christian, then you will systematically go through five increments of maturity. One is the silent witness. This is where you say, I just live it. Now, I'm not putting that down. Obviously, that's good. That's the starting point. And if you didn't live it, you'd never get anywhere with it. Until you have a basis for your life before God, you cannot communicate a life before God. Or the philosopher would put it this way: without an ethos, you cannot have an ethic. You've got to have something that supports it. So it would be logical, would it not, to be aware that the silent witness is the starting point. But let us not stop there. There is the second increment, and that is the casual witness. Now, that means that some of us, as we continue to mature in our faith, to grow up, to get out of the crybaby stage, the whining stage, or just to feel sorry for myself because I'm in this religious blues stage, and we continue to grow in our lives, we find ourselves in the casual stage of declaration. That's where you just kind of slip it in. Somebody called and said, are you doing anything? I said, no, no big problem. You just interrupted my prayer time. slip it in. It sounds real religious, too. But they really, a casual witness is when you just share it in a casual sort of way. And that's stage two. And it is. The third stage is invitation. We have a lot of that in Trinity, and that's good. I'm not putting it down, because it's the third increment in growing Christians. At least some of us have gotten beyond I live it, which is a big Methodist cop-out, if that's your lifestyle. And the third stage is the invitation. That's where, well, a neighbor is struggling with a big problem, and so you say to them, well, our minister had pastoral counseling 203 and made a C-plus in it. You ought to talk to him. He's a very wise, learned man. Anybody with pastoral counseling 203 has got to be wonderful. So you invite them to come down and talk to your minister. It's the invitation. And often I hear people in this town say, I came to your church because I was invited to come by people who were excited about it. That's good. That's a witness. Sure it is. Just getting up and going to church in your neighborhood is a witness. You don't run over somebody with a lawnmower or their golf cart or something. It's a witness. So it is a declaration. And until we get into the inviting stage, we don't get out of the silent and casual stage. But then there's the fourth stage. And that is, and this may sound strange, but it's true, you will share Christ in a group, but not with a person, private, person to person. I remember that stage so very, very, wasn't too long ago. When I got up enough courage, when people were sitting around and they finally started talking about it, I'd say, yeah, I believe that, or I believe in Christ. You could say things in a group, and that's progress. That's step four. And step five is in a person-to-person relationship where in just a natural verbalization, I can share the great reality that Jesus Christ lives in my life. But without declaration, there is no maturation. E. Stanley Jones said, impression minus expression equals depression. It does, whether you're talking about your family or your faith. It's a law of life. And if you're not growing in your faith, it may be because you're just living it, and you need to get out of that particular stage. The third step, or the third key that I've noticed, is priority. Probably one of the most rampant needs in the American psyche is to reprioritize our lives. I know of nothing taking a greater toll on our family today than disheveled and unacceptable priorities. Nothing. God being my witness, I know of nothing that's hurting the American home more than poor priorities. And if you're not growing in your faith, it may be because you give God the dimes that are left over because you don't have anything after you spend for everything you want. Or maybe it's because you give Him the certified leftover time after you've done everything you want to do. Or it may be the leftover talent that you will help out with this group or that group or the choir or whatever it is with your talent, provided it doesn't inconvenience you and provided it doesn't interfere with what you really want to do. If you're not growing in your faith, it's because, possibly because, you need to have a better system of priority. And I would put that as giving a first-rate love to a first-rate cause, then a second-rate love to a second-rate cause, a third-rate love to a third-rate cause, an eighth-rate love to an eighth-rate cause, a 30th-rate love to a 30th-rate cause. As long as the sequence is proper, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things, provided you give a 15th-rate love to a 15th-rate cause. But what cuts the heart out of integrity and faith and maturation in faith is when we give everything we've got, the first-rate commitment to a fourth-rate cause, or some of us, a first-rate love to a 187th-rate cause, things that don't really matter, and we wonder why we're so crooked when our spinal column is out so far. And it's very much like that. You know that you can have a strong back, healthy, but if you've got one disc, just one now, not a half dozen, just one that's out of place, I've got one of those. I don't want to break your heart this morning or anything like that. There's some things I can do and some things I can't do. I can't paint ceilings, for which I'm grateful. I can dig ditches, which I'm not too grateful for. But I've discovered that I'm a healthy person, appearance notwithstanding. But when that one miserable little disc, one, do you hear me? One. That one miserable little disc gives me trouble, I am as crooked as a garden hose left out in the rain that decided to swivel up and die. I can hardly walk. And it's not because my whole backbone, they've taken all these various things and put them all in the wrong place in the order. It's because one of them is out. So you see, when you give a first-rate love to a fourth-rate cause, you bring all that whole pressure along the line that tends to dissipate and hurt. I would define priority as living in such a way that no matter what I lost, it wouldn't be my greatest love. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will take their place, will come unto you. Because you see, if I live so that whatever I lose won't be my greatest love, and put, in other words, I give my first-rate love to God, everything else probably will fall into its proper sequence. But I pity those of us today who give our first-rate love to our boat. You can lose your boat. Those of us who give our first-rate love to our looks, you can lose your looks, or your house, or your cottage on the lake, or whatever it is. And those things are not evil in themselves, You can give an 11th rate love to an 11th rate cause. But if you're not growing in your faith, and you want to be, and you've just sort of hit a sticking place after having found Christ, it's probably because you need to reprioritize your life. When you say, I can't afford it, or I don't have the time, that is not a statement of fact. It is a judgment of value. You're saying, I can't afford it because I've spent it all, or I can't do it because I've given it all. And if you're not growing, it may be you need to stop and ask God to help you put priorities in their proper place. I know of nothing in America today that's hurting our families more or our faith than poor priorities or inappropriate priorities. You before you leave, to please leave your bulletin. Let us bow our heads. Now may the grace and the message and the power, the meaning of life itself, go with us both now and forevermore. Cow in the meadow syndrome that says, I feel right and chummy with God. So to cultivate that relationship, worship. It has to be cultivated. God does a lot of things for us, but there's some things if we do not do for ourselves, we will hear no more from God. We may survive in our faith, but we will not be maturing Christians. And this is the way to vital faith. Every Christian grows rather easily when they first accept Christ, up to these four basic categories. And to find the key to open that door is the way to keep growing. Those keys are action. I must do what I know to do, or I'll never get anywhere else. Two is declaration. Until I begin to verbalize my faith, I never experience the freeing agent that causes me to be a growing participant. The third one is priority. Give a first-rate love to a first-rate cause and a 40th-rate love to a 40th-rate cause. And the fourth one is cultivation. To take the care to be very sure in my partnership that I am actively cultivating an awareness and an understanding that can guide me and help me and direct me. Why? In order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature individual who is in union with Christ. Let us pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, perhaps you're here this morning and you have never asked Christ to come into your heart. And you need to start there. Right where you're sitting, you can do that. But perhaps you're here this morning and you need to pray about one of these categories. Maybe you've just been getting nowhere. And yet you know something happened to you sometimes. Maybe it's because there's something you need to do before any new insights will come. Or maybe it's just the fact that you need to break into the next category of sharing your faith in a verbalized way. And I think probably all of us need to be conscious of our priorities, and certainly the need to be cultivating our partnership. Let's pray privately concerning the commitment we're willing to make. Let us pray before Almighty God. Our Father, we know that you have made life practical and understandable. And yet so many times we do not correlate that with our faith. Help us this morning, those of us who want to grow, to find a key in our own lives whereby we can mature more in our faith. Not to grow into becoming a Christian, but to grow in our commitment as a Christian. We pray through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. On this Sunday, it is my real thrill and privilege to receive into the church those who will be joining with us. We had a wonderful group in the early service. I wish you could have met them. So we invite, as we sing the first and second stanzas only of our closing hymn, those who are to be received this morning to come forward. And if this is something you've not talked with me about, or I just simply felt today as a commitment you ought to make, you're invited to come and move your letter or join as a profession of faith as we sing the first and second stanzas of number 170.